Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Jim Garrity of National Review is back from the National Review Caribbean cruise, as tanned as his Irish skin will allow him to be at this point.
It's when the freckles start to merge, Greg.
Exactly. And I just on a hunch, I'm guessing the post-2014 midterm cruise was slightly more jovial than the post-general election 2012 cruise.
Yeah. The post-election is always a great time to do this, because if it goes bad, you want to be around other people who understand how bad it is and sympathize and are feeling the same way you are. It's sort of like an Irish wake. You know, of course, Greg, you know the difference between an Irish wake and an Irish wedding, right?
What's that?
One less drunk. After a victory, then you want to be around people who are as happy as you are about the election outcome. It was a jovial crowd for a good portion of the week, and then the hangover started hitting. But anyway, we had a very good time, but it is good to be back. It's good to be, you know, it's a little weird to have really warm weather and be wearing shorts in November.
Yes. Well, you won't have that problem back here in the D.C. area anytime soon. On to the good martini now, and it's been a rough week for Obamacare in a number of ways. First of all, it was a major issue for the thrashing the Democrats took at the polls. Then we had the Jonathan Gruber story unfold video after video over the past week. And despite what the president says, it hasn't been a completely glitch-free experience for those trying to access healthcare.gov over the last couple of days. But our good martini today comes from a new Gallup survey. And the Politico story reads like this. Support for Obamacare continues to decline, with the law hitting a new low in approval and a new high in disapproval. 37% approve of the Affordable Care Act, 1 percentage point less than the previous low recorded back in January. The disapproval level is at 56%. Guess what? Most people haven't even heard how far up their premiums are going to be here soon.
Yeah, you know, this is one of those things where it's a good martini with a slightly bitter mid aftertaste, shall we say, but potentially a very good delayed aftertaste. Which is to say, look, Obamacare is very unpopular. I just posted on Campaign Spot the point that President Obama now is increasingly clearly becoming the obstructionist in Washington. The Republicans would like to repeal it entirely, and Obama's never going to go with that. Obama says maybe he might be willing to tweak around the edges. But this is a very unpopular bill. It's not just that the approval is lower than it's ever been at 37%. Disapproval is higher than it's ever been at 56%. And then you look at this, you know, his threat to veto the Keystone Pipeline, the Iran deal that everybody's extremely skeptical of, the environmental deal he reached with China, that he's full on in his executive order presidency. And in many of these cases, he's doing it in defiance of the popular will. We just spent 4 years of the media constantly denouncing the obstructionist Republican Congress, standing in the way of the will of the people, yada, yada, yada. Here we have a case in which public opinion is very clearly on the side of the Republicans. The president refuses to deal. He refuses to budge. He refuses to make concessions. And it looks like this is what it's going to be like for the next 2 years, which could be an exceptionally depressing scenario, except the good news is that each time one of these ideas goes to the president's desk and he vetoes it, he does two things. One, he puts Hillary in a very difficult spot, that she's either got to back the veto or she's got to, you know, stand with public opinion in support of these ideas. And then the next thing is that he's setting the stage for the Republican presidential nominee to say, look, put me in office. I will sign Keystone. I will sign changes to Obamacare that you want to see. I will scrap any, you know, playing footsie with Iran deal that lets them get a nuke. One issue after another, and the Republican agenda will be ready made by early 2017, because it'll be everything we wanted to pass in 2015 and 2016.
All right, on to the bad martini now. And this, of course, was news that became known over the weekend. The terrorists in ISIS have once again beheaded another captive. This time it's another American aid worker, Peter Kassig. This was something they had threatened. And Jim, maybe there's more insight on here than other beheadings. But I think the key here is that just because there's been a lot of them doesn't make it something we should ever get used to. And just every time this happens, we need to once again sound the alarm about how it's an imperative to make sure we bury these people in the dirt.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Look, we have a very full plate right now, foreshadowing our next martini, a new fight about Obamacare, issues of the budget, Ebola, an unsecure border, the president trying to do this executive. Like, there's a lot of problems, but, you know, ISIS kind of faded from the headlines for a couple of weeks. The situation's not fixed. And in fact, I think, you know, the evidence is building up that our current airstrikes really aren't making much of a difference. Certainly nowhere near as decisive as we wanted, even granted that this was going to be a long-term fight. And this beheading just kind of shows us, you know, the brutality of ISIS has not been mitigated. Every time, you know, they get their hands on an American, they you know, do the worst imaginable. And it'd be interesting to see, you know, we had said at the time that Obama's response to ISIS seemed like a political response, not a military response, something to get people off his back about it. And that's not a way to win a war. And that's clearly not been much of a deterrent or much of a force that ISIS has to reckon with.
On to the crazy martini now, and the president is still on his swing through the Pacific. He was, of course, at the APEC summit, then he was in Burma. Now he's down at the G20 summit in Australia. I think he might even be on his way home now. But he was at a press conference, which included a question from Ed Henry. And it's a fairly extended clip here, but let's hear the question from Ed Henry and the response from the president regarding all those comments from Jonathan Gruber last week.
At your Burma town hall a couple of days ago, you tried to inspire young leaders by saying governments need to be held accountable and be responsive to the people. I wonder how you square that with your former advisor, Jonathan Gruber, claiming you were not transparent about the health law because, in his words, the American people, the voters, are stupid. Did you mislead Americans about the taxes, about keeping your plan, in order to get the bill passed?
No, I did not. I just heard about this. I get well briefed before I come out here. The fact that some advisor who never worked on our staff expressed an opinion that I completely disagree with in terms of the voters is no reflection on the actual process that was run. We had a year-long debate, Ed. I mean, go back and look at your stories. The one thing we can't say is that we did not have a lengthy debate about health care in the United States of America, or that it was not adequately covered. I mean, I would just advise all of every press outlet here, go back and pull up every clip, every story, and I think it's fair to say that there was not a provision in the health care law that was not extensively debated and was fully transparent.
Jim, I'm not sure pulling up the clips is going to help the president's case here since he had the lie of the year last year, but it's pretty obvious that what they're trying to make us believe here is that apparently Jonathan Gruber was in the Cincinnati office.
Yeah, that's not a bad way to put it, because there are two things that really jumped out at me about that. Not surprising from President Obama, but still kind of galling. One is, this guy wasn't on our staff. He was just paid $400,000 by the Department of Health and Human Services. Technically, he's a contractor. Okay, you know, and what's, you know, we saw some of this weekend with a number of reporters from places like Politico writing pieces that say, well, isn't it kind of overstating things to call Gruber the architect of Obamacare, when in fact their pieces like 4 months ago called Gruber the architect of Obamacare? So it's not some crazy right-wing idea of Gruber's centrality to this process. What was the word Obama kept coming back to in those remarks, Greg? What was the centerpiece of his defense? Lengthy, right? We had a lengthy debate, and everybody covered the debate and all that stuff. But it was not, you know, the issue was not that we didn't have enough debate about Obamacare. It's that we didn't have an honest debate about Obamacare. The amount of time you spend discussing something doesn't really matter if you're lying the entire time. And Obama just seems to gloss over that. And I think it's one of those... Now, we've used the expression, you know, when you say something like that, either you're stupid or you think we're stupid. He's kind of continuing the Gruber approach, which is that, well, if I do this little sleight of hand thing, people won't notice it. And it's rather galling and frustrating. And it very much qualifies as our crazy martini, because he's kind of crazy enough to think no one's going to notice that.
Jim, I know you enjoyed your time on the cruise, and I know you enjoy visiting with all the National Review listeners and readers. But how much did it hurt to have a full week of Gruber stories and not be able to make diehard references on the Three Martini Lunch?
Oh, my goodness. You have no idea. And, you know, it was interesting because clearly a large portion of National Review cruise goers listen to this program. So based on that, you would think all of them, even if they didn't see Die Hard, I would say being a regular listener of the Three Martini Lunch is roughly equivalent to watching the movie over and over again. were every bit as manly as Bruce Willis. It's every bit as action-packed. And we recite the dialogue with metronomic regularity. And so everyone's why I would make a, yeah, Gruber's, you know, the third Gruber brother, who's the most successful because he destroyed the U.S. healthcare system. And I would kind of get some quizzical looks. One or two people would get the reference and stuff. So, you know, I think we may need to do a Die Hard screening at some point. And you and I will do kind of a Mystery Science Theater, you know, the response in the background. We'll do a DVD audio track with lots of Jonathan Gruber jokes throughout it. So
excellent. The one I saw a lot last week was you ask for miracles on passing the ACA. I give you Jonathan Gruber.
That's pretty good. And somebody did finally put, you know, like a graphic of the three Gruber brothers. Alan Rickman, Jeremy Irons, and Gruber himself, you know.
Yes. Well, and
very notorious family.
Well, he's an only child now, so that's the
And Bruce Willis is a Republican, so there you go.
That's true. We'll leave it there for now. Jim, great to have you back. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to join us again on Tuesday for the next Three Martini Lunch.